Welcome to Proudly Resents, the show about movies so good because they are so bad. Check out ProudlyResents.com. And now please lower your standards for Proudly Resents.
Hey, thanks to Adam Spiegelman. I'm here with Joe Mortimer. And we are the RZO Hot House Studios in downtown Los Angeles, where every month they have a live free comedy show. If you're interested in that, send me an email at tsr818@mac.com. I don't even know my own address. And there's a full production facility, including this little show about terrible movies. They're so bad that we love them. Joe, friend of mine for about 7 to 8 minutes. It's going well?
For this purpose? Yeah. It's going very well.
So far, you went to see Pavement last week?
I went to see Pavement on Thursday. Their tune-up show for Coachella, their reunion. They haven't played together in 10 years at the Fox Theater in Pomona.
And?
Pomona happened in a little town in California. A lot of little hipster kids out there.
Oh, that's the place to be. It's in New Williamsburg.
Apparently.
I saw Eagles, and I sat next to, unless you read my Facebook, I sat next to a celebrity father. Go ahead. Guess who it was? Big movie star's father.
You sat next to a big movie star's father? I did not, contrary to popular belief, I don't micromanage your Facebook wall. Big celebrity's father, I am going to guess that you sat next to...
Movie star. A-list.
A-list?
A-list dad. I sat next to an A-list dad at the Eagles concert.
Julia Roberts' father.
Male. Action.
Eric Roberts' father. Bruce Willis' father.
No, that would have been fantastic. Jason Statham's father.
Oh, yeah.
There was this British guy where he starts talking to me. He looks like a tough guy, and he's old, and he's got this great voice. And everything he talks about the Eagles.
Did you recognize him because he was connected to a battery pack?
He kept having to punch. He said, punch
he
me,
He had jumper
mate.
Cables on his nipples? Is that why you recognize?
Jumper cables, mate. I'm going to die.
You recognize
yeah,
him?
Yeah. No, he sounds exactly like Jason Statham. Then he's like, well, I mean, my son is a celebrity, and I really can't take him out. Oh, what's Jason Statham? Oh, no shit.
Yeah. I do like guys like that. You know, like even like Daniel Craig. Like, those guys are just, they're just too cool for their own good.
Yeah, they're tough.
And being British just adds to that.
Yeah, definitely Statham.
For sure.
So talking about people who are cool, and even when they're in a bad movie, actors like Statham and the one you mentioned, James Bond.
Rise above it,
and they make it better. So here's an example of a guy just trying to be cool, and it's not working. It's a movie called Second Chance. Now, if you want to find it, it's very hard to find. It took me 3 years to find it. That's why we're talking about it. It's only 36 minutes. I have it up on my blog on mediayenta.blogspot.com. Just put in the thing, Second Chance. Or Tim Sudano, S-U-D-A-N-O. Heard him on a podcast a couple years ago out of San Francisco where he's this movie-making guy. He's going to change the world. And Hollywood makes all this crap, he's saying. Same old crap. Everyone makes the same crappy film. He's going to change everything. So they said, great, what's Second Chance about? And he starts describing this private investigator vampire film. And the DJ just freaks out. I also have that up on my site. Goes, what the fuck? That's like every other film.
Right.
So now I'm dying to see this. I put it up on my blog. Thing about video, that video is going to great equalizer, and you know everyone can make a movie for better or for worse.
Right.
And this is the worst, which is why we're talking about it. And I think it's worth talking about, even though it's an amateur film, because the guy's playing it up. Just because he insulted Hollywood, the town we live in. Well, you live right off the freeway, but town we live near.
Yeah, I'm about 5 miles from Hollywood. I'm kind of on the fringe of Hollywood.
You know, just to say, like, those guys put out crap. And the thing about the crap that they put out in Hollywood, like even anything we talk about, anything with any bad movie, is they're well lit.
Oh, no, for sure.
Good sound.
I mean, you can't deny, you know, there's the whole thing of art versus commerce. I mean, you want...
Right.
You go to a movie and you see the credits. You see how many people worked on, you know, Road Trip, the movie, to make that thing work. You know,
right.
Just for an example, and you go, you know, this is a huge source of commerce. This is an industry, and so you can't crawl into the minds of the people at Paramount and see why they're making decisions to make movies. or not make movies. I mean, sometimes it's art, but for the most part, it's to make money because they believe that they can make money. So for a guy to sit back and criticize that,
right.
You know, I mean, he would make this movie, Second Chance, and then if somebody came to him and said, hey, listen, you know, I want to make a Mr. Belvedere movie, and I want you to direct it, and he would be like, absolutely, I could kill Mr. Belvedere.
After watching this half-hour movie, they wouldn't come to him with Mr. Belvedere, or even like Mr. Belvedere 2.
But I'm saying hypothetically, yeah. like those are your opportunities. I mean, we had that conversation last week about Mickey Rourke, where you go, you know, he has this huge comeback with The Wrestler, and you go, okay, that's his last opportunity to ever take on a film role like that, because everything he does from this point forward will be for huge dollars.
I thought about, after we talked about it, James Earl Haley, who's an
Jackie.
Jackie Earl Haley, sorry.
Right.
From Bad News Bears when we were kids. He did Breaking Away.
Kelly
Leak. And then he disappeared for years. And then he was a limo driver. And then a friend of his, or he gets into that movie.
Little Children.
Where he gets nominated for an Oscar. So here's a really good movie, and he plays a really intense role. He'll never do that role again.
No.
Never do something. You know, he's done Watchmen, which was fine, but I mean, he's in Watchmen, and he's doing a Human Target, and he's playing Freddy. That's what made me think of him, Friday the 13th. He's not doing Oscar caliber films anymore because they're not offering it to him.
Right.
But he's on the radar because of one.
Right. And he doesn't want to make a decision to take that role for less money. Now he's just trying to build his bankroll.
Now he keeps going.
Yeah. So here's the thing. His name is Timothy
Sedano.
Who's Timothy James?
That's another thing. So the movie is written
and produced by Timothy James,
right? And directed by some other by a totally fake name that I wrote that I tried to look up. Google went crazy. I was arguing with Google for a while because they're like, "Do you mean music?" And I was like, "Dan O Music, MUSIT," and they said, "Do you mean Dan O Music?"
So Google wasn't having any of Timothy James.
No, they weren't having anything. And
Google
there's no Timothy James. I couldn't find Timothy
Google
James.
Google was like, "Fuck this guy."
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
"No, you don't. You can't possibly mean this."
They said, "Girl," it got ghetto on me. The music was fine.
Yeah, there's one kind of like, obviously, homage to Godsmack or some, you know, heavier-esque song that was completely listenable.
Yeah.
I don't even like that brand of music, and I was like, this doesn't suck.
If that guy wants to go on some radio show and badmouth music in Hollywood, I'd accept it.
I'd accept it.
Yeah.
I'd accept that as a perfectly...
So he plays a private eye, this guy. I'm sorry. It's a heavyset guy who's wearing...
You know how you know he's a private eye?
Go ahead.
Because he's a baseball hat on and a Hawaiian shirt.
The Hawaiian shirt. Now, right. Is that a tribute to...
Magnum?
Magnum, or... he looks like a Stephen First type. You're the only person who would get that reference.
Yeah.
But from Animal House.
Flounder.
Flounder from Animal House. It just seems like, yeah, you're going to dress like that. So, he's a private eye, and he becomes... Now, here we...
How many times a week do you wear a Hawaiian shirt?
How many times am I in Hawaii?
Never. I mean, I was actually there in November for Thanksgiving. And you know how many times I wore a Hawaiian shirt while I was there?
Go ahead.
Zero.
Zero times.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wears a Hawaiian shirt.
Nobody.
But as a big guy, I can say that he probably is the only shirt that fit. You know, like, he's not wearing shirts. He's not trying out different shirts. He's like, oh, this shirt will cover
this other
shirt.
Let's get into the nuts and bolts of this movie. So he's a private eye.
Go ahead.
And he's also a vampire.
He became a vampire. He was surveillance. He heard some commotion. He gets out his shotgun because he's a badass.
Which was in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
So you can just drive around.
With a shotgun.
Northern California, I think, where we're
they know him.
Shot.
They know him.
And
they see the
just,
shirt and they're like, oh, private eye.
Two-pump shotgun.
They see the shotgun. They see the shirt. They go.
So the fucked up thing is he goes into the house with a shotgun and still manages to get attacked
he's
by
a vampire.
He's
got a shotgun.
He has a shotgun. Exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot of like fight scenes that end before they start.
Well, one of the guys, there was a fight choreographer on this movie.
Uh-huh.
And the fighting was my favorite fight scene was the silhouette, the shadow, where they
I wanted
where
to
they,
get to that
where
talk
they
about.
Showed him getting stabbed in the shadow. It's
is
like,
that what it is?
We can't choreograph this actual fight scene, but we're going to do it in silhouette.
Which is, in one way, it's like, oh, that looks so cool, but it's done so badly, you can think it's only done because they couldn't figure out how to do it.
The lighting designer was like, I'm just wasting my time on this film.
Yeah, listen, he works at Lamps Plus.
The lighting designer?
Yeah, he's like,
well,
I got
he was
shift.
The reason why they were able to do the silhouette shot.
Yeah, so instead of showing the guy getting stabbed, the vampire getting stabbed by a wooden stake, they do a silhouette. And it looks so fake. There's one time this woman kicks. She does a great roundhouse kick, and she misses the guy, and he flies back 20 feet. And I'm thinking, like, it's a good Christian way or something, like, maybe she meant to do that. Maybe she wanted to scare him off with her foot, and he ran away.
Intimidation factor.
And then you're like, oh, no, no, she's supposedly kicked him.
No, she just missed.
She missed terribly.
Why was the door so heavy? They were trying to get through the door. Why was the door so heavy? They were all sliding through the door, and the other guy got killed. Did he kill, or did he get killed, or did he just vomit blood? Because it's not really clear.
He
spits up blood because he can't get through the door.
Right.
And then the other vampires who are chasing him also can't get through the door. And then he locks her out, and then he just kicks the door, and it flies open with no tension whatsoever.
I didn't know who anybody was in the movie. The movie was shot in darkness a lot.
I'm with you. And
you didn't even know, you were saying before, that if he was a vampire or wasn't a vampire.
Well, I thought that basically I was like, this guy is a vampire that uses his... whatever, you know. Basically, he used it as a tactic to get pussy. That's what I thought. Like, he's just like, I'm just going to get pussy, and I'm going to kill people.
So we're going to play this first scene, talk about getting pussy.
You know how you knew that he killed her? Because when he woke... And apparently, vampires struggle with the morning just like everybody else.
Like everyone else.
Garfield, the guy, he hates Mondays.
Lasagna. They made a point of him saying a little.
Garfield loves lasagna, hates Mondays. So even vampires hate Mondays. He can't get out of bed.
He's got a
dead girl on his chest.
Even vampires have coyote ugly.
Yeah.
So here's what we'll explain
if
what we're talking about.
She wasn't dead. She would have had to do the walk of shame.
She did the undead walk of shame. So we're about to find him at a bar picking up a woman. The audio here is, I blame it on them. The music is louder than the dialogue. So when you hear it, it's going to be off until the end of the scene. So he does narration, but gives you no information in narration. He doesn't tell you what... I still didn't know what's going on, and there was a narrator.
I have no idea. He's
at a bar at night, and he's explaining how he has a wingman who's a woman who's going to help him get laid, and it's something they do every night.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Second Chance is about him becoming a vampire, reclaiming his status as a private eye?
Yeah, he wanted to go back.
He wanted a second chance at becoming a private eye.
Or a human. And not killing. So you make a good point. He leaves with a brunette and wakes up
Asian
with a blonde.
Girl.
So kind of. Here's him picking up the Asian girl. He's a big stocky guy in a Hawaiian shirt.
My sire Jenny and I are hunting. We have this little game.
He's faking talking.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Now here comes Lily.
How you been?
Hi, how have you been?
Good. Well, I'm well.
Is this your date?
No, we just met tonight.
I hope you took your vitamins. Have fun.
She runs after the friend because she's so intrigued by the vitamin comment.
Yeah, what does that mean? What do you mean, take my vitamins?
Because he has bad breath is what my assumption.
What if she took a whole 100 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C and B12 and all that? That still, does that ward off a vampire?
She doesn't know about the vampire. She's saying...
Well, what the fuck does the vitamins have to do with it?
Maybe because he's so fat, she assumes he won't get a good meal.
Just to keep up with him as the vampires or what?
If he buys her dinner, he's going to get her like a chili dog.
Why are they sitting at a bar
bitch.
With no drinks in front of them?
And why is the bar so loud? Like, you know they put the audio in later. But they put the... All right, so here... So the wingman goes in to the bathroom to fix her lip gloss because she...
Apparently has Japanese shades in this bathroom.
Because
which
it's not really a
Because it's not a student film. It's actually a bathroom with Japanese shades in it.
This was only a student film.
That was shot in somebody's living room.
Right, they could have found a bathroom. And they shot the thing in a bar.
Put a lipstick blotter in your hand, and this will make it look like you're in a ladies
room.
Yeah,
and they can probably the same room they use for
with
other
Japanese
things.
Shades.
So it looks like it's a shot from the mirror. You know, like she's looking at the mirror, but she's looking at the camera. So the other woman is so intrigued by this vitamin comment, she wants to know
she's
more.
She's going to bang this dude solely off of this girl's recommendation.
Oh, he was losing.
She came 10 times when she had sex with this guy. She said.
Let's not ruin this. This is a spoiler.
Yeah.
I was half ready to ditch the guy. Sounds like you two had fun. Ditch him if you want to, but I wouldn't deny myself the experience.
Really?
He's not Brad Pitt, but that man could rewrite the Kama Sutra, the joy of sex, and the Mackenzie Guide, all while giving you your 10th orgasm.
Record
skip.
Flagpole's going up, huh? Woo!
First of all, the fact that he could rewrite the Kama Sutra, he could barely write this movie.
not only that.
Yes.
I consider myself a pretty well-read guy. I have no fucking idea what the McKenzie Guide is, which is basically when you put something like that into a script, you're basically announcing to the world that you're a degenerate. No. You're saying, like, I've gone well into the chasms of sexual reference guides that I'm now reading something called the McKenzie Guide. Maybe I'm missing the boat. Do you know what it is?
McKenzie Guide?
Yeah.
That's when you get lost in L.A. It's a big, thick book that you keep turning
to. Leads you to prostitutes'
pages.
Houses. It just has little markings of where
McKenzie
prostitutes
guide.
Live.
Well, Google says, do you mean McKenzie?
Google's still mad at you about
Google's
Timothy James.
Not gonna, girl, now you're going to ask me about McKenzie?
Google's sassy.
Problems? I can't find it. Google has let me down again. McKenzie, right? How would you spell McKenzie?
I have no idea. Just put in degenerate sex position.
Oh, I'll
book.
Put sex in there. Let's see. Doing. Oh, now I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, you mean McKenzie Guide.
Harvard Review? I don't know.
Why don't you just say McKenzie Guide?
Oh, girl, you into that? Isn't that what, we're too ignorant. I can't even Google this, how dumb I am. And I'm making fun of this guy. So let's go back to another clip from the film. He's hanging out with these vampires, and he wants to kind of like, the narration again tells you no real information, because he introduces the only black character in the film. Oh, I got right on the shot. Who is a black vampire, and he doesn't like him.
He's the bad vampire.
Even in an amateur film, there's racism in casting.
Crazy racism.
I mean, in the defense, it was shot in San Francisco, where there's only like 7 black people in the whole town.
I don't think, was it shot in San Francisco? I think it was shot more in like Fresno, but I know Northern California for sure.
No, yeah, I think it's San Francisco.
Ow.
She's light and says, ow.
Am I being punked?
All right, here we go.
This is Krieger, my favorite guy in the whole world. That was sarcasm for those of you who missed it. I hate this guy. He's been...
Let's just go right to the voiceover to explain the unexplainable.
Yeah.
Try to explain the unexplainable.
By the way, not a bad-looking guy, this Krieger guy. Not a bad actor.
No.
Been on my case since Jenny brought me in here.
He's not even blistering.
Like, it doesn't even make any sense. So he goes on to...
He's a good guy looking for a break.
Listen. So
he's like, I'll do your movie.
Yeah.
You know, everybody gets, you know...
I wonder which cast he's from.
Tom Cruise got found in Taps, you know, little military school movie.
Who knew that would take off?
You know?
And then at one point he has a conscience that comes out of nowhere, like a great gazoo, who tells him, our vampire hunter slash vampire.
Slash.
Private Eye.
Private Eye.
Slash wearer of Tommy Bahama. Tommy Bahama made a whole business out of
off
taking...
Off of Private Eyes.
Yeah, but taking the wine shirt and darkening them, black and white. They're all like black and yellow. And
in fairness to Tommy Bahama, the material is they could put a dragon breathing fire over the Minneapolis landscape, and you would look at it and go, that's appalling. But you feel the material and you go, oh, that's pretty comfortable. I could actually see myself wearing a dragon blowing fire over the Minneapolis skyline.
I'm embarrassed to say I'm wearing that shirt.
As comfortable. That's a comfortable shirt.
Right here, I'm wearing a comfortable shirt. So the sign of people who make like vanity projects is like, again, they're sleeping with lots of hot women. And also characters talk about their character, about how great they are in bed.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Go ahead. You know, by making himself a vampire, he's essentially a lady killer.
Nice.
Yeah, you like that?
Well, the guy is conscious, the Great Gazoo character. He says, why did you do that? Why did you keep killing that woman? You didn't need to. And he says, I need to. And then he said...
He's got over 60 kills on his conscience, this
right.
guy.
And he says, why did you kill her with a smile on her face? So it's such a creepy rape fantasy thing. It's like, I kill them, but they're okay with it. It kind of creeps me out.
He satisfies them. And even knowing their ultimate doom, they're still okay with it because they've been so satisfied.
That's really gross. But let's real quick get on the test. Joe, would you recommend this film to somebody else?
I would recommend it. I would recommend it. My question for people, as I equate it to this. One of my favorite bands for a long time growing up was Soundgarden.
Right.
I love Soundgarden. I loved Chris Cornell. And then Chris Cornell did a solo album, and I was kind of like, huh. I got to know a little bit more about what Chris Cornell, what his taste in music was. I wasn't so hot on it. Then Audioslave came out, and I was sort of like, yeah, man, this just isn't really for me. And then Chris Cornell did a project with Timbaland, which is some of the worst music I've ever heard in my life. And I feel like I don't know Chris Cornell at all, or who I thought he was. And this is the kind of stuff that he wants to do. And that's what I equate to this movie. The answer is, why? Why?
You can make any movie you want.
Why? Why do we need a vampire private detective movie?
Change all of it. Myself, I say you should definitely go see it.
Done poorly.
Done poorly. It's
poorly,
great.
Poorly executed.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And if you can find more information on it, you should. Right now, you can find it on medianta.blogspot.com. Type in Second Chance or Tim Sedano. And you can find it on our website, whatever that turns out to be.
Check out proudlyresents.com.
Thank you very much. It's RZO Hot House, is where we record it. Full production facility every first Thursday of every month. They have a great comedy show here, downtown LA. If you want to come, free booze, so who cares what the comics are? Great space, free booze, really good comics, actually. Email me at tsr818@mac.com, and I'll get you on the list.
Check out proudlyresents.com.
And if you like the podcast, put on your little Facebook. Be good to shit. Come on, help a brother out. And subscribe to the podcast. Or any comments, and we'll read them on the air.
Check out medianta.blogspot.com.